Coming up on Telling the Truth with Stuart, Jill, and Pete Briscoe.
What's a testimony? It's the story of how you met Christ or how Christ met you. Actually, the word means turning around. You're going in one direction and then you turn around and go in the other. Well, that's true of Paul, right? Absolutely true of the Apostle Paul. He's going in one direction, persecuting, killing, putting Christians in jail. He is a murderer. He's murdering Christians with permission. Now, all of us need to be converted. It says in Matthew 18, unless you are converted, you will never see the kingdom of God. So my first question, have you been converted?
Today on Telling the Truth, Jill Briscoe shares how you can stand strong for Christ no matter what you're facing. But first, it's easy to be frightened by what's happening in our world. But God's Word offers prophetic insight into what the future holds and reminds us who holds the future. We want to help you unravel the mystery of biblical prophecy and grasp its profound relevance for today's events by sending you Pete Briscoe's new 6-message teaching series on the end times called How the Story Ends. It's our way to thank you for your donation to help Telling the Truth stay on the air, helping you and others experience life in Christ. So call now to get your copy of How the Story Ends when you give and discover how you can be encouraged even in these chaotic times. 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. Now here's Jill with the start of her message, Standing Firm When the World Shakes Back.
We're going to be looking at the chapter on Paul. So we're talking about a man who says, I don't care what happens to me. As long as I use my life and all the gifts that God has given me to make the devil sorry he started the mess in the first place. That's his whole focus. And he wants to be an instrument in the hand of God. He wants to dance to the beat of God's heart. He wants to be in tune with the Lord and have his life impact forever. He's not planning to retire, for example. It's interesting, Stuart and I are involved in this ministry now in developing world, and that's where we're living our lives for whatever health and strength we have left. And I'm finding that we are being really an irritant to everybody that wants to retire. Sorry about that. Well, I'm really not. It just surprises us that people have said, but I'm not planning on, you know, doing much with my retirement except rewarding myself for working hard, et cetera, all day. But, you know, Paul, can you imagine him planning for his retirement? I don't think I can. I was reading the life story of John Newton. He was the little sailor boy that went on his daddy's ship and became one of the most cruel slave masters in history, charting his own ship to round up Africans and sell them as slaves. And of course, he got incredibly, wonderfully converted, and he wrote his most famous hymn. He wrote many, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was bound, but now I'm free. And that must have had specific pictures for him. I once was bound, but now I'm free. For he had been binding human beings, children, teenagers, adults, and selling them all over the world. And of course, he got saved. He turned into a wonderful Anglican minister. He had 2 parishes in England. And at the time of his death, at the age of 82, John Newton never ceased to marvel at God's mercy and grace that had so dramatically changed his life. And this was the dominant theme of his preaching and writing. On another occasion before his death, he is quoted as proclaiming with a loud voice during a message, "My memory is nearly gone, but I remember 2 things. I'm a great sinner, and Christ is a great Savior." And apparently, as his mind failed, they were the only 2 things that he could remember, and they were the only 2 things he ended up preaching. And then he'd sit down, somebody else would get up and do the rest of the sermon for him. I love it. I love it. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, And until I'm done, that's what it's going to be. And I think until we capture the next generation, we looked at the next generation, do you know what they need? They need that challenge. They need the challenge. They need something to live and die for. The purpose, the driving passion of their life. That's what kids are looking for. And we shouldn't be afraid of saying, give it to God. Why don't you give your life to God? Go on, give it away, live it away, love it away. Yes. And kids rise to that. Yes, they do. And when I think of the Apostle Paul, it's that marvelous phrase, Christ is my life, death is my gain, that gets to me every time. And that's what I want my life till it's over to be. He was a world shaker with that sense of chosenness. I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race, dance to the beat of his heart, complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to God's grace. Amazing grace, G-R-A-C-E, acrostic, God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. It's all I want to talk about, it's all I'm living for, and it's what I will die for, which Paul proceeded to do. And he was convinced that God had told him he was going to take the gospel to the heart of the empire. Where was the most pivotal part of the world at that time? Rome. Never heard the gospel. It had never been preached in Rome. And Paul said, I'm going to do it. I'll do it. Can I go? Please. So many of us are praying to go, but we're secretly planning to stay. And Paul was not into that. God saw his heart and he took him and said, you're going to get to Rome. I'll give you your heart's desire. So we pick up the story in Acts 21:17, where Paul and his party arrive to give the gifts from the Gentile church for famine relief. It turns dreadfully bad. The whole situation deteriorates. And even though Paul does his best, he takes vows, he does the ritual cleansing, presents himself in the temple, 2 million Jews in the city. The diaspora. The diaspora is a name for all the Jews that lived outside of Israel, scattered all over the world. And for this particular feast, they all came home. They all gathered. And they all, at some point during that long feast time, got themselves into the temple, into the holy place. And across the holy place was written on a sign, no foreigner is to enter into the forecourt and the balustrade around the sanctuary. Whoever is aught will have himself to blame for his subsequent death. And the Jews believed that the temple remained defiled until the sinner was beaten to death. And as Paul walked through past that sign, somebody recognized him and said, there he is. He's been with Gentiles. He's eaten with them. He is living with them. He has even brought some of them to our city. In fact, I am sure he's brought them into the temple. And immediately, it was just like putting a match to tinder. And the whole thing erupted. The riot ensued. Here were the men that turned the world upside down, doing it all over again in the temple. It says in the Bible, the whole city was aroused. And the word, kaneo, literally means moved, shaken. The world shakers are here. The whole city, not just in the temple, the news spread. That man that's been running around saying that people can come into our faith, Gentiles can take part of the promises of the Israelite people, is here. What's more, he brought one of those people, the Gentile, into the holy place, which was not true, but that's what they said. And the Romans, who were very nervous and trying to keep the lid on any riots and were there in great numbers, looked at this man literally being beaten to death by the temple police, and they rescued him. And they brought him out, and he stood on the steps. And as they were taking what was left of Paul at this point into safety and find out who he was and what was happening, he said, what a wonderful opportunity. Please, can I speak to the people? This is a perfect place, and these steps make a perfect place so that they can all see me. Let me talk to them. And the Roman said, you're asking me in Greek. Well, yes, I can speak Greek. You can speak Greek. Aren't you a Hebrew? Yes, but I can speak Greek. I was educated in Greek under Gamaliel, teacher known worldwide, Hebrew teacher. And so the Roman says, well, aren't you that Egyptian that caused a riot all those times ago and like that terrorist that came and had this insurrection. I thought you were him back again. No, no, I'm a Jew, says Paul. And he stands in front of the mob and begins to talk to them in two languages, Aramaic and Hebrew. And when they hear him speaking in Aramaic, that was the language of the diaspora. All the visitors understood, and they all quietened down. It says in the Bible, then he swaps to Hebrew in and out. And as soon as he speaks in Hebrew, all the Jews go silent. Who is this man? He speaks our language. And he begins to tell his story. His story of his conversion. Story of his conversion.
That's Jill Briscoe on today's Telling the Truth. She's headed right back to God's Word for more on standing strong in Christ, no matter what you're facing. But before we dive back in, did you know that with your smartphone, you can hear Telling the Truth daily programs? Get the Telling the Truth app today. Listen to messages, read and comment on blogs and devotions, and share your thoughts and prayers on the community wall. Find the Telling the Truth app in your app store or at tellingthetruth.org. And remember, you can give to support Telling the Truth on our mobile app or via text when you send TTT to 313131. Text TTT to 313131. Now, once again, it's Jill Briscoe.
Who is this man? He speaks our language. And he begins to tell his story. His story of his conversion. Story of his conversion. He gives this testimony. What's a testimony? It's the story of how you met Christ or how Christ met you. Actually, the word means turning around. You're going in one direction and then you turn around and go in the other. Well, that's true of Paul, right? Absolutely true of the Apostle Paul. He's going in one direction, persecuting, killing, putting Christians in jail. He is a murderer. He's murdering Christians with permission. Romans turning a blind eye, the Jews giving him letters to do it and permission to do it. And he meets the risen Christ and he is converted. That is a very dramatic conversion. Not only is he turned around and stopped doing that, he becomes a Christian himself. And he becomes the persecuted. And he becomes the one that's tortured and beaten and put in prison and finally martyred. That's a conversion. Very dramatic conversion. Now, all of us need to be converted. It says in Matthew 18, unless you are converted, you will never see the kingdom of God. So my first question, have you been converted? And you say, well, Jill, I haven't gone around persecuting Christians or murdering my mother with an axe or something dramatic. I'm just an ordinary person. I love my mother. I wouldn't do that to her. I'm a nice person. In fact, I've gone to church all my life. And I cannot think of a moment when I met Christ or he met me and I turned dramatically around so people notice the difference. I haven't had a so maybe I haven't even been converted. My husband has this picture of a rose in tight bud. And he says, some of us are converted like Paul was, or like John Newton was, the slave trader, into a Christ lover. And that's very dramatic. And others of us, it's like this rose, and the warmth of God's revelation comes to us, and the rose begins to open slowly, 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 until it's in full bloom. And that's probably the experience of most of you in this room. Most of us do not have a very dramatic St. Paul experience. I doubt if that's true. All of us need to be converted. The actual moment is not always the conscious moment. Did you hear that? The actual moment is not always what you're conscious of or what you can remember. But there will be a time if you have been born again, if the Spirit of God has come into your life, even if you cannot remember it. If you've been brought up in a Christian home, for example, it's very hard. I remember my daughter saying to me, Mom, you had a dramatic conversion. You can remember the moment. I can't. I was just a little girl, you tell me. And maybe what you're telling me is what I remember because you told me, but I cannot remember the actual moment. But I want to tell you, my daughter is a believer. She's in ministry today. And even though she can't tell it, Dr. Billy Graham says of his wife, "I'm a good Baptist boy. I have a conversion story. I was going this way. I met Jesus. I was led to Christ. I can show you where, what chair I was sitting in, who led me to the Lord, who prayed with me. I turned around and I went in the opposite direction." Now he says, "Ruth, my wife doesn't have a story like that. Child of missionary parents brought up in China. She cannot remember the actual conscious moment. But," he says, "I assure you, she is a Christian. She was like the flower, and she just bloomed. The important thing is to know now, today, at this moment, that you have been converted, that you have received the Spirit of God, and you've been born from above. And if you're not sure, make sure. You know, nobody's watching you, nobody's looking at you. Just tune me out, bow your head, make sure, right now. It's easy. Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, I'm not sure. So I'm going to make sure. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, by your Spirit. Bring me life." Well, conversion. Once you've been converted, you need to tell it. Your story is just as interesting as any dramatic Paul's conversion. Yes, it is. And I'll tell you who it's interesting to. All the people like you. All the people that can't remember the actual moment, but know they're a believer. And if you could share your story, it would encourage them. Oh, so you don't have to just live a terrible life in order that you can have a good conversion. No. This is how Christ can become real in reality to you. This is what happened to me. And so your story is very important, whoever you are. You need a beginning, you need a middle, and you need an end. You need to say, this is how I was brought up, or this is what it was like. As long as I can remember, I was in this Christian atmosphere. But there came a point where I noticed there had been a difference. I don't know the moment, but I began to want to read my Bible. You know, live people want to eat. Dead people don't want to. And suddenly, I came alive spiritually and I wanted to eat. I wanted nourishment. So I began to find that I wanted to read my Bible. There will be signs of life somewhere. You need to think about that. So you tell them what happened before, and then you tell them the difference after. Your story is wonderful. Everybody has a story. So you can give your testimony anywhere, anytime, any place. You don't have to be presented with a little audience to do it. And, well, if you round up all your friends, I'll give my testimony. You do it everywhere. You just gossip the gospel. That's what was happening in the book of Acts. So get going on your story, every single one of you. Paul gave his story, his conversion story, over and over again. 5 times you'll find altogether he gives that story. Never tired of telling, just as John Newton was never tired of telling, "I'm the sinner Christ died to save," until he had no mind left and he had few words, and that's what he was still doing. "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Little practical things as you read. I hope you'll go back and read his testimony and find these points. Speak in a language they'll understand. Paul used Greek, he used Hebrew, he used Aramaic. Well, you don't need to do that. But the point is, speak in a language they understand. Don't get all scriptury and King Jamesy on them. Just talk their language. Number 2, find a point of agreement. He said, "I was trained under Gamaliel," point of agreement. "I was a Jew," point of agreement. Find something that's not going to antagonize them immediately, because you're going to antagonize them before you're finished. So first of all, speak in a language they'll understand. Find a point of agreement. Keep it simple. It's so simple. "Once I was blind, now I can see." You know, just as simple as you can. Spurgeon said, "Feed my sheep, don't feed my giraffes." And what he meant is obvious. You know, don't talk up here. You've got to feed the sheep. You've got to be on their level, as it were. Give a personal illustration if it helps. But don't, in the end, let it be all about you, because you've got to get to the point of talking and testifying to the grace of God. You've got to get to the gospel. And sometimes I listen to testimonies and we never get there. It's all about the person's story. Well, that's only the window that people can look through to what's really happening. inside. And you've got to get to the gospel. And when Paul actually got to the gospel, all hell broke loose, literally, around him. And that's the problem. I find still today, after years in ministry, I find I get to the point where I need, as very crassly somebody said, to close the deal. I need to really say, you can't go to heaven unless Christ has forgiven your sins. And if you don't go to heaven, you'll go to hell. I still find myself, maybe it's my British shyness, I still find that very, very difficult. I mean, how can I talk to this really nice person about hell? I mean, they're really nice. And I've got to tell them, in the end, unless you are saved, you're lost. And say it in their language and explain it.
That's Joel Briscoe on today's Telling the Truth. She'll be right back to answer some questions about standing firm in Christ, no matter what opposition you face. The new series from Pete Briscoe, How the Story Ends, unravels the mystery of biblical prophecy to share what God's Word says about the chaotic times we're living in and how you can be encouraged about how the story will end. This 6-message teaching series is our way to say thanks for your donation to help Telling the Truth stay on the air, helping you and others experience life in Christ. So call now to get your copy of How the Story Ends, 1-800-889-5388, 1-800-889-5388, or get it online at tellingthetruth.org. Now let's chat with Jill about a few key ideas from today's message. Jill, can you tell us if you've ever antagonized someone by sharing your testimony with them?
Oh, I'm sure I have. At the moment, off the top of my head, I can't think of how many people I've antagonized. And some don't let me know that they don't like what I say. But what's that got to do with anything? It might have something to do with I need to learn to explain things better. And it's if I do antagonize someone, I always and know it, or they tell me, then I'll ask myself, did I speak out of turn? Did I not make a friend of this person before I shared my faith with them? You know, if people don't like you, they're not going to listen to you. Do you listen to people that you don't like? I don't. Think back to school. I can think of teachers I never listened to because I didn't like them. And so the hard work of loving people and spending time with them and building friendships needs to be done. And then you stand less of a chance antagonizing them. Just cold turkey on the streets or knocking on houses door to door, I don't believe is the best way. I think the best way is friendship. Evangelism. I think the best way is to invest in people and not just be interested in them for their spiritual scalp, but interested in them because they're wonderful people and you want God to help you to love them and get to know them and then share your faith with them. And if I've antagonized somebody and it's obvious, I say, I'm so sorry. I think I might have offended you. You know, if you're ever ready to talk about these things, I'd love to do that with you.
Okay. So how do you move aside and let your testimony be about God's grace and not all about you?
Yes, the Bible says, be witnesses to him. Jesus said, be witnesses to me. And if you use your own story at all, let it be a small window. You're sharing about Christ. You're saying, let me tell you about my faith. It's centered in a person who I believe is alive. He was dead, but he came back to life. It's about Jesus. Could I tell you what not just he's meant in my life, but what he has meant in a world of people's lives down the centuries, that he changes people's lives on every continent, in every age? Can I tell you about him? And you might get somebody interested by telling a gory story about your own testimony, but be very careful because it's not about you. It's about him. And certainly there is a place to say, let me tell you how Christ has changed my life, but take a couple of sentences and then tell them about the Christ who has changed your life.
Thanks so much, Jill. Right now, when you call and give to help Telling the Truth stay on the air so you and others can experience life in Christ, we'll say thanks with a new resource from Pete Briscoe, his six-message teaching on the end times called How the Story Ends. From the rise in persecution among Christians to the increasingly chaotic world events, God's Word offers prophetic insight that's extremely relevant for today. So call now to get your copy of How the Story Ends. 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. We hope you'll join us again when the Briscoes share powerful truth from God's Word. Experience life next time on Telling the Truth.